This is KLBPLP Long Beach 99.1 FM, broadcasting from Shannon's on Pine and online at klbp.org. You are listening to the Indie Creators in the Joy Zone on KLBP Long Beach Public Radio on 99.1 FM and online at klbp.org. This is your hosts, Suzanne Toro and Thomas Artavani. Hey, hey, let's enter into the Joy Zone with these Indie Creators.
Follow the sun, and which way the wind blows, when this day is done. Breathe, breathe in the air, set your intention.
Hey, hey, let's enter into the Joy Zone with these Indie Creators.
A brand new moon and brand new sun.
Dima, brought you joy.
I mean, Dina has a cool story. I mean, ice cream shop's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, and how she got that going and how she keeps expanding it. Just the look on people's faces when they walk into that shop. The looks on those kids' faces when they're looking through the mirror and stuff like that. That was fun. That was fun to be able to go to a guest place where they function and capture the real life essence of where they work and how they grow and how they expand and the place where they are of a service to their communities. You know, that's really an awesome, awesome privilege to be able to step in there and do that.
Absolutely. I was really impressed with her staff. Dina.
We have Dina Amadril, and we're going to get her in here as soon as we can. But what we want to do, when we come back, she's going to be sitting here.
That don't make you happy. Nothing in this world will, baby. That's ice cream.
That's ice cream.
Hey, we're back on. We're back on. We're back. Welcome back to Joy Score. Welcome back to Joy Score. We have Dina Amadril here in the studio, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm in the house.
The ice cream woman in the space.
Yeah.
We love you. We love your space. We love what you brought to this community. We love the looks on people's faces.
Yeah, isn't that the greatest part?
Oh, my God. You just sit there. You can just sit back and just absorb all that wonderful energy they got. And that's why you're part of why you're here, because even just the essence of your job elevates people's well-being.
Yeah.
Do you notice that?
Yeah.
You can't have a bad attitude when you go get ice cream. You just can't do it.
We've had a couple breakdowns, but they're usually people 5 and under.
Yeah, but not your employees.
No, they're great.
You have great employees.
Yeah.
I mean, they were very extremely helpful, and not only that, kind of involved. Like, they cared.
Yeah. I think they all really get behind the mission that we're trying to portray, where it's all natural. We try to use as much of the food as possible, skins,
yeah,
whatever we can. We don't want any food waste. We don't want people to be unhappy when they come in. So when I hire people, I look for their kindness first.
I love that you shared that on the way in, that
yeah,
you can't teach people kind. And share a little bit more about that, because I was contemplating about that. I'm like, you know, you're right. You can embody it for yourself,
yeah,
but it has to come from within.
That's what I mean. I can teach them how to scoop. I can teach them how to clean, but I cannot teach them how to be polite or be nice or kind to each other and kind to the public. So that's the number one thing I like to look for.
Why was that important to you?
I like to work with people that I like.
When did you realize that?
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Yeah, but when did you realize that?
I think probably the first time I got bad service at any other type of place. And it's so easy to give a good service, a good experience. It really is. If you just watch the person in the eye, you pay attention to what their energy's like, make suggestions to them. And everybody comes at it with a different angle. You know, we have some people who sell with really high energy and enthusiasm. Other people who like to talk softly about the ice cream. And then they can meet customers on the other side of the case that are kind of like them.
Well, you and Suzanne, yeah, have something in common in that
yeah,
in that respect. You know, there's a bit of a food synergy there. She believes that, because she's a food alchemist and She's a shaman. She does all this stuff. She does cooking classes. She does all this wonderful stuff. But she's one of the things that I hear her say every once in a while is like, you know, if you got a bad attitude, it's going to go into the food.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys you don't want negative people serving ice cream.
No. No. And I swear I probably have eaten some pissed off macaroni and cheese in the past, because this is, you know, something that just didn't make you feel good.
Yeah, how do you screw up macaroni and cheese, for God's sake?
If you can't really eat it. Yeah.
That's the only way you could screw up mac and cheese.
Yeah, you're mad at it. Yeah.
Call it names. Slap it around.
Well, the one has to stay hot and gooey, and the other one has to stay hard and frozen.
Yeah.
So tell us about how you were you managed to bring this wonderful little gift into the city of Long Beach. And what was the journey there?
The journey there was a journey of frustration. Basically, I was at a job that I wasn't being able to be my full creative self.
Yeah.
And
what job was that?
It was a marketing job for a business credit company.
Oh God, I'm bored already.
Yeah, see? And I always had to explain who I was, what I was doing, what our business was like. And I went over to my neighbor's house one time. Her name's Sasha, and she runs a farm called Farmlot 59.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, and she handed me her business card, and all it said on there was farmer. And I was like, damn, that's what I want. I want like a one-word thing that people can understand. That's what I am.
Farmer.
Yeah. Farmer. It was beautiful.
Yeah, but what's your one word?
It's three words, but I couldn't.
Ice cream maker.
I was like, Suzanne, you didn't tell me the one word thing that she had.
She did. Ice cream maker.
Ice cream artist.
Oh, I love that.
Because I think it's an artistry to what we're doing.
Tell us why it's an art. How does it become an art? This ice cream thing.
Well, the elements like alchemy come into play when you're mixing items together, like. Our ice cream cashew fennel chip. You guys probably
tasted it yesterday. It was amazing.
You had that? Oh.
And it came to me in more of a dream. And then I had to put the pieces together of how did what was that dream like? What did I really want to do with those cashews?
How wonderful is that?
Yeah. And so that's kind of the artistry and the playing.
So what's the name of that ice cream?
Cashew fennel chip.
So you guys got to go over there, and if you have caffeine fennel chip ice cream, you'll be cashew fennel ice cream.
That's why you made that.
You will be eating Dina's dream.
Yeah,
that's a dream ice cream that came out of that shop.
Yeah, and it's just one of them. Like the one coming up, we're going to make one on Friday. This might sound funny, but plum cheese crumble. So it's going to be a plum jam with a crumble that has Gruyere cheese.
Is that going to be a new thing?
It's a new one.
Do you use the new things that you come up with to market?
Yeah. Because we show people what we're doing as we're making the ice cream.
It's not plum cheese fennel. It's plum cheese what?
No.
Plum cheese crumble.
Plum cheese crumble.
I'll repeat the food terms.
mine would be like plum cheese fennel. Yuck.
No.
No.
Plum cheese crumble.
Crumble, yeah.
Plum cheese crumble. See, it's already fun. You got to figure out what to call it, and it's a plum cheese crumble.
Yeah, you
crumble.
Can skip around and say it 10 times
crumble.
Fast and see who
plum cheese
do
crumble.
It the longest.
Plum cheese crumble.
You're crumbling now.
I'm crumbling.
You're crumbling.
So that's really cool. So the art of it, when you think of an art, you think of not knowing what you're stepping into, but you have all these elements available to you to wait to be inspired, I guess.
Right. And anything can inspire for making of an ice cream, too. Like, you go and have a appetizer somewhere, and you're constantly thinking, okay, how can I turn that into an ice cream? I can take this component and that component and make it translate into the cream and make a really nice flavor.
So your imagination, though, you must be a bit of a foodie, because your imagination is blending the flavors and the spices and all that stuff that you've already sort of assembled, right?
I wasn't always a foodie. I'm like a ham sandwich girl, a chips and salsa, some simple, easy.
Oh. You are listening to the Indie Creators in the Joy Zone on KLBP Long Beach Public Radio on 99.1 FM and online at klbp.org. This is your hosts, Suzanne Toro and Thomas Artavani.
Let's see. Keep going.
Don't make me remember the last thing we said, though. The caramel fennel spice.
I know, it's crazy.
Fennel chip.
This is the
true test to see if someone really is a foodie.
I'm a foodie in the fact that I like to eat it.
Yeah, you like to eat it, but
what is it? Well, listen, she's got a palette. If she's an artist, she's thinking. If I'm thinking like a painter, then she's got her palette of of ingredients, and then she has her environment to create in, and then you just go in there and you sit in a lotus position and you wait for divine inspiration.
Oh, I stand over a bowl and I and wait and I wait to taste it.
Well, and can you share with a little bit with the listeners, you know, so you shared that you worked in marketing, and you can see that extension in your space, like how you carry your creativity and branding and everything through there. But can you share a little bit about going from like just the ice cream, developing it, and then getting into the store? Like, I mean, you have freezers and all that stuff. That's a big
endeavor. Yeah, I went from 12 little Cuisinarts in my dining room and living room, and I would chase them around and spin ice cream together.
What's a Cuisinart?
A little one quart ice cream maker.
Oh, a little ice cream maker.
Yeah, a little tiny guy, and I had a whole bunch of them. To having official big equipment.
Yeah, actually, I had one of those a long time ago. I had an ice cream maker. It's a big deal, like tiny.
And yeah, doing that was a big jump. It was selling a condo, investing your money.
Yeah,
you know, changing all your
Your
mind.
You
about
sold
your
house.
Yeah,
you sold your house to build your shop.
Mm-hmm.
That's a humongous risk, but there must have been something that occurred there that let you know that it wasn't going to be that big of a risk.
Yeah, the people. The community got so behind the ice cream.
How do you get people behind an ice cream?
But we had an ice cream underground.
We did.
Yeah. For 18
she
months.
She did. I was telling her I tried to take the kids there, and they kind of like shamed me that I shouldn't be taking them to a stranger's house for ice cream because they were doing raising
this
money.
This woman had an ice cream underground.
I did.
That's awesome.
And it was about an 18-month venture where I would make ice cream in my house and sell it by the pint. Then people would come to tastings at the Farm Lot 59 or Wee Labs or my backyard at the end point where I got the cease and desist letters. But I didn't desist. I just kept on going.
So your underground got busted, and you were like, "Well, now it's time to sell the condo and open a shop."
Yeah, it was the shit or get up the pot moment.
You must have had some business experience, or did you have somebody help you out with that, or was that just something you were just ready to do?
My dad helped me out a whole bunch. He's like a business savant, and
well, that helps.
Yeah, and just the history of how I was raised and. I always making something and trying to sell something since I was young. And then I got stuck in a job.
What was the first thing you were trying to sell?
I sold keds that I painted, and then I sold little earrings that had gems on them or whatever.
You painted the little keds for the kids?
Yeah.
Keds for the kids.
I painted myself.
Those things are going to be collector's items now.
It would. I almost got kicked out of Catholic school for selling all kinds of stuff.
Oh, my gosh. You were an underground girl since a child. So you were an entrepreneur early on.
Yeah, very early. Yeah. I was always getting in trouble selling something. But, I mean, no drugs, but did the other stuff. Ice cream is probably the closest to a drug.
Sugar.
Yeah.
Sugar.
Well, this is a little off the mark, but what's your biggest sales tip? What'd you learn?
Probably my biggest sales tip would be to believe in what you're selling. To make something that you think is worthy to sell. If you believe in it, you can sell it to anybody. It doesn't matter if somebody even owns it already. They'll buy it because you have passion for it.
Yeah. Well, and it feeds through just like that energy of kindness, you know, your staff, mm-hmm. and then what goes into the food transmits.
So you're sitting there, and I guess in your bio it says your friend had a little ice cream maker.
Yeah, this is Sasha again. She
had it, and then you tasted what she made, mm-hmm. and then you realized you had one back in the attic or something, up in the attic?
Yeah, in my garage. I had one the whole time. So I just put it in the freezer and then started looking online for ice cream recipes, and from that point on, I have not stopped making ice cream or thinking about ice cream or how can this become an ice cream.
It was your destiny. Are you in any stores?
That's beautiful.
I was in stores and a couple of the local ones, and then we kind of pulled it back because doing that wholesale thing
it's
a whole nother sale and a whole nother rules and regulations, and it's really, I don't know if that's the space I want to be in. You know, everybody thinks the winning this game, the food game, is getting into Whole Foods or Gelson's or whatnot. And to me, that takes the joy out of it.
Yeah.
I want to be able to create items and sell them direct to the people and see their faces when they taste it. And I want to have that connection.
That's a wonderful crossover for any artist, actually. The moment they go big or they start getting pulled away from the essence of what actually inspired them, there's a plateauing that can happen with an artist until he figures out that new environment that they've been pulled into and what is the creative impetus at that point. And that's pretty common. That's really cool that you wanted to maintain your creativity and maintain this wonderful nuanced exploration of this ice cream.
I think that's the, because that's what was killing me in that other job, was I lost all those components.
Right.
And here's, I'm very protective of them now because I don't want to lose again. And I feel, we're opening our third store coming up soon.
Wow.
And now I'm getting to the point where I'm not making ice cream anymore. Other people, we've trained them and they're doing beautiful jobs making ice cream themselves. But I feel like I'm farther away from the point that I really fell in love.
Right.
So I have to get back in there. Yeah.
Well, making those the recipes that are coming through the dreams.
Yeah.
You know, mastering and that then and then passing on.
I'll send them a little message. Okay, we're going to put cheese in that. And they're like, what? What the cheese in that? Yeah, I'm going to put cheese in that. Why not?
Yeah, that's awesome. And where's your next store opening up?
Yeah,
in Bellflower.
Okay.
In Bellflower, the city I was born in. And we're going to open in the Steelcraft, those shipping container food park.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we'll be the dessert in that.
Very
in that
cool.
Area.
That's going to
really
be amazing.
We're excited about that.
You know what's cool is I see, I mean, even if you thought about your process, you'd be able to, I see like a workshop or a seminar in your future going into talking to corporate heads and how to stay vital in your little cubicles.
Right. I think that's really important. You can fall into this to-do list thing and it kills the passion for whatever you were working on.
You could just deliver them ice cream.
Could you? Could,
say seminar. One scoop of ice cream.
Worst case scenario, if you went back into that marketing, that old marketing grind as it was, would you be able to bring some of these creative tools back into that little space?
Yeah, definitely.
Like what? What would you bring back into a more simple job in order to stay alive in it? What would you bring?
I think first I'd bring breath, because whenever I was getting attacked or approached by other, I shouldn't say attacked, but I think that's how I felt, by other people who wanted to be in the marketing space that I was in, I would clench up. I'd lose myself. And then, people are just batting off of this empty thing. I wouldn't work with them because they probably had really great ideas. It's just I got rejective of them immediately because they felt like they were intrusive.
Mm.
So part of my unhappiness there was my own fault.
Right.
It wasn't all everybody else, you know. It wasn't even a real terrible job.
She just brought in the essence of what we're all about here, and you just threw it out there. She said, "I just brought breath into. I'd bring breath into the space."
Well, and she's actually recognizing where she could. You probably could have had an attitude adjustment or perspective adjustment, where everything that you thought was so horrible wasn't, and just met it with a fresh lens.
Right.
Tell us. Where did you get this breath meditation, or where did you hear that for the first time? Is that something you practice now? I mean, clearly, is it something that you conscientiously bring into your day-to-day?
I try. I don't always. I mean, before I started doing the hustle with ice cream, I did a lot of yoga. I practiced Tai Chi every Sunday.
Well, there it is.
Yeah.
You are listening to the Indie Creators in the Joy Zone on KLBP Long Beach Public Radio on 99.1 FM and online at KLBP.org. This is your hosts, Suzanne Toro and Thomas Artavani.
So I had a lot of that in my life. We did mandalas and all kinds of beautiful stuff.
How much do you attribute that to your success now?
Probably a lot, because it helped me, at least it helped me see that there was another place to go to.
Yeah.
Like to look at the ice cream. Because in the beginning it was just me having fun. And then it was everybody wanted to eat it, and I kind of make it now. And it got to, sometimes I hated it. Sometimes like, I hate cream. But other times I was just in love with the whole process.
Yeah.
So I was fluctuated back and forth. And I realized when I was hating it was when I was too blocked up.
Yeah. And what did you do to unblock?
The exercise or just find, you know, tasting another flavor again. I was like, damn, I got to make that now. Now I got to make this.
And share some of the recipes that you had, like roasted beet and guava and corn, and how you make them seasonal. And one of your staff was sharing how the kids order ice cream by color. So a lot of them like the beet because, maybe strawberries is not in season right now. But they actually enjoy it.
They love the beets. Their parents don't like it. Their parents think they're not going to like it. So they shut them down. They're like, oh, no, don't get that one. But it's so beautiful.
Yeah,
the magenta
really
color. and they all want to eat it, and then they'll eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we did you a favor.
I've got to tell you, every person that's ever come in here has somehow opened up about this quintessential esoteric meditative repose, that somehow they picked it up and were able to re-inspire themselves with just a simple moment-to-moment existence within whatever environment they were in, and they flourished in it.
Right.
I mean, we can't ignore how important some sort of a practice is to calm the mind and let it become placid, so that we can actually observe the objective reality of the space that we're in, so that we can actually create in that space and see what opportunities that it has for us. And every moment, I guess, is just loaded with opportunity from that perspective.
Right.
It's the other one that takes us away and limits us and makes us look over our shoulder and worry about who's doing what and get involved in things we don't really have a business getting involved in. And in running a business, you know that your time is finite and you have to get things done in order to deliver.
Right. I feel the finite nature of my time more now as we're adding on. You know, we're the three shops and... I got so much stuff to do.
You're like, when am I going to get it all done?
And I don't pay attention to any. I don't watch news. I don't, you know, this, all that stuff is just stripped because I don't have time for it.
Right.
I have to focus on what's important to grow. Because now there's 30 people working for me.
Now you're responsible for 30 people.
Wow.
And I want to be responsible. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Bringing jobs. Bringing jobs, baby.
Yeah.
You know what?
I'm a jobs train. But I would love to have more, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd love to coach more people. That part I'd like to get... You know, delve into more. People are also a big old headache, but they're beautiful at the same time.
Well, yeah. as they learn, you can see, like, within the people that you have in there, they're reflecting this, you know, this philosophy that you have, this how you go about seeing the world, and it definitely rubbing off on the people around you. And certainly, you can feel it when you walk into your shop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that can be carried over to your family. That can be carried over to your friends. I mean, a lot of times those people need leaders in those spaces, just like if you, you know, not,
right.
but you don't get to pick those people. You don't go, well, you're not nice. You're still my dad, still my brother, still my mother, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So you have to figure out how to adapt, but still those same tools that you're succeeding with can go into a hostile environment and you can maintain your composure in those spaces, yeah?
Right.
What are some of the biggest challenges that you actually face or that you have faced?
With the business in particular?
No, with you in the business.
Me in the business? I think one of my bigger challenges right now is my physical body. Maintaining. I have to get to the point now where I'm maintaining that better.
Oh, right.
Because I'm standing up 8-10 hours a day.
Sweetheart, you're eating ice cream all day long.
I'm not, actually. I don't eat a lot. I taste.
I used to train swimmers, and a couple of these endurance athletes would swim around Manhattan when I taught swimming in Manhattan. And they'd have to, you know, they'd have to fatten up. So they would they'd start eating like a gallon, like half a gallon of ice cream every night.
Oh, yeah, that
so
would
they
fat,
would
yeah.
so
fat.
They would so they would float better. If you float better, you have the more fat you got, the more buoyant you are, and the more buoyant you are in the water, the less energy you use, and you can glide through the water better.
Dang, I gotta go float.
Go swimming.
Perfect. Yeah.
Well, no, just be on your feet all day.
Yeah, being on my feet. In the beginning, my legs would swell. You know, things like that would happen that I wouldn't expect. And I had to get compression socks and you know, research all this stuff. But I need to take care of that vessel a lot better so that I can.
That's hard, though, finding balance, you know, especially when you have something that takes off and all your energy's there, that it's like, oh, that other self-care of the body or maybe eating perfectly balanced.
Are you kidding? As she gets more and more and more and more shakes, she's going to crave more and more and more what she eats, and she's going to enjoy it even more and more in her senses?
No, I'm just saying that it's hard sometimes, you know, when you initially build something certain things fall away because you just don't have physical space in the day, right?
I'm talking about it. Like she gets it, like start getting in shape, then your senses start to pick up, and all of a sudden your sense of smell starts to get better, and
Thomas,
your taste buds kind of wake
so
up.
He can have
I'm just saying, I'm on a diet now. I got to lose another 15, right? So, but I noticed that when I start getting hungry, my senses start waking up, and when I do take a bite of food, it's like that much more yummy.
Yeah, that's right. I need to get to that point again, too. And because then I'll make like a 7-cheese ice cream or something.
Oh, shit. Yeah. A 7-cheese ice cream.
I got to try this cheese ice cream. Oh God, I didn't try any of that.
Cheese and ice cream is so good.
Yeah.
Like, how do you manage to put those two together? You'd think the cheese would freeze up and cheese, get hard as a rock.
We put a little cream cheese in every ice cream base.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it's nice. It helps keep it at the right scooping, not the right temperature, but the right scooping texture.
Right.
And those elements are so important, the texture of the ice cream, all that kind of stuff, how much ice is in there. We have to control, there's some real chemistry.
You are listening to the Indie Creators in the Joy Zone on KLBP, Long Beach Public Radio, on 99.1 FM and online at klbp.org. This is your hosts, Suzanne Toro and Thomas Artavani.
Yep,
learning all that.
You know, I see in your future, too, an ice cream making contest.
Yeah, probably. That could be cool.
Because then the winner could be featured in your shop. Mm-hmm. And then you could
it could be
like,
a recipe contest.
You could be like, damn, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Like how they came up with that. Then you don't have to work so hard.
I think that's the part she loves, though.
Yeah, that is the part I
love. Yeah, but think about a whole community, like exploring the different nuances and different tastes of ice cream and what they put in it and stuff.
A lot of ice creams have come from customer suggestions, too. They suggest things, and then we're like, hey, well, let's put that together.
Yeah. Whose idea did you steal?
She's like, I stole no one's idea.
No.
I just added to it.
You just added to it. You made
suggestions.
It happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm curious if you have avocado ice cream.
I have made it before, but only for like a catering gig one time.
Okay. Avocado and chocolate like each other a lot.
Oh, we did do that. We did what we called a chococado. Now I forgot.
A chococado?
Chococado.
A chococado. Can you believe a chococado? Chococado ice cream.
250 different kinds of or flavors of ice cream so far. Yeah. So
it's amazing. What's your favorite so far?
I love Love Potion Number 9, which is
Number 9. What's that?
It's a cognac vanilla ice cream with a strawberry and pepper jam.
Did I have it?
No,
I had the whiskey. I had the whiskey one.
Whiskey vanilla. Yeah.
I had whiskey vanilla. That was awesome.
You're making us hungry.
Whiskey vanilla. What are some other names?
The ones that I've loved?
Yeah.
I like all the liquor ice creams. The Black Stout.
We made it
with a couple different local beers, like Smog City's
Black Stout ice cream. Yeah.
That probably makes a good
Black
beer float.
Black Stout
it's
ice
awesome.
Cream.
Yeah. And now I would like to try it now with 10 Miles. Their milk. They have a milk something. I can't. Milk Stout, they call it.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be good.
Share a little bit about how Long Beach is an interesting food culture where there's a lot of artisan foods where, I don't know, I'd love to hear from your perspective because you're using locally grown food to make the ice cream.
Yeah, and we collaborate with a lot of other local food makers. So like Black Green Coffee, who roasts their own coffee. She's a female roaster up in North Long Beach. We use their coffee for anything we need for coffee.
What's the name of the coffee?
Black Green Coffee.
Is it like for coffee drinking?
Yeah. That's the name
Black
of her,
Ring Coffee.
That's the name of her business, Black Ring Coffee.
And you put that in which ice cream that you have over there at the store at 4141 4th Avenue?
It's called Black Ring Coffee Ice Cream. We also make mud pie with it. We use her coffee to make our dark, rich chocolates.
Mud pie, Black Ring Coffee.
Wow. You're going to have to
mud pie stories.
Oh my god.
I used to make a mud pie. Wow. Do you put cake in there or just use the chocolate and
no, it's the coffee ice cream with a thick chocolate fudge and a chocolate cookie.
Oh, wow. Yum.
Yeah, it's a popular one.
What's the name of that one?
Mud pie.
Mud pie.
Just mud pie and you got all that cookie stuff in there and
cookie and coffee and chocolate.
How about the I guess some of it doesn't have milk in it, right?
Those are the vegan ones. Yeah.
Those are the vegan ones
with the coconut base.
But I guess how important is it to
and a sorbet too?
Like, do you have your own cow out back where you get the milk from, or what?
No, we get all our dairy, though, from Strauss Dairies up in Marin County.
Is it pasteurized, or is it all whole?
It's all pasteurized.
Yeah, yeah. But can you tell the quality of it?
Yeah, they have pretty much the top quality. These cows live on better land than we live. They're looking at the ocean in Marin County.
Oh, geez.
Nice.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I'm almost looking at the ocean.
And they're eating grass, you know, beautiful grass-fed cows. And we chose Strauss because they go above and beyond with all their environmental stuff. All their cow crap, but it's in a big methane digester, and they power their whole plant with that
Oh, they're very eco-friendly. Couchers, very eco-friendly and sustainable. I guess they're more of a sustainable operation.
Yeah, it's beautiful cream. Beautiful. Everything they use is top-notch.
It's funny. I love the fact that even Chef Paul that came in and said he used all the local people, the seasonal fruits and vegetables. I guess you're doing the same thing. I mean,
pretty much, yeah. Yeah. And so there's some stuff that we use that we can't find locally. Like, you're not going to find locally made or grown chocolate or vanilla. Those things have to be imported.
How many gallons of ice cream do you sell a day on a good day?
Geez, that's a good question. Because we were thinking about it in scoops.
Yeah.
But we have like...
It must be like something weird and big.
And it's probably not as big as you would think. It's not as big as I would think. Probably maybe 30 gallons a day.
30 gallons of ice cream a day.
Yeah, at the two shops. Because we sell it by the scoop mostly and by the pint. So the smaller amounts so that it becomes affordable.
Right.
Because it to us, the price for everything that we're purchasing, because it's organic or local, it's very high. So I don't want to scare people too much.
Well, you're not going to scare anybody. Just say a couple more names and you'll have a crowd. What's some more names of ice cream?
Most names of the ice cream? Well, the one that gets us in the most trouble is the name LB Crack.
LB Crack. And what's an LB Crack ice cream?
It's named that because of the cracker cookie.
Oh, the cracker cookie. Ice cream.
But everybody relates it to, you know, whatever they think of in history.
Well, crack cocaine. They get addicted to it. They can't stop going in there and getting some. And it's probably cost as much as a hit of crack, too. It's probably about $5.
What else is in there? There's a cracker and what else?
Yeah, it's a saltine cracker that's coated in butter and sugar.
Oh, wow.
And caramelized. And then we put a chocolate layer on top of that.
Can you say that again, Suzanne? Can you repeat that?
There's a saltine cracker with butter and sugar on top. And then... We toast it, though, first, or caramelize it, and then put chocolate on top.
Oh, that sounds so yummy.
Yeah, very yummy. And then it's in vanilla base.
Vanilla base with a chocolate fudge swirl.
Ooh.
Nice. What's another one?
Another one that's real popular, this thing.
4141, 4th Street, Long Beach.
Our burnt caramel ice cream is very popular. I've tried that.
Burnt caramel ice cream.
Yeah. A lot of people, in the very beginning, I had a good friend that was, you shouldn't call it that. That's a terrible name. Like, nah, I'm gonna move forward.
No,
with that
we get
name.
Burnt caramel because some of us, you cook the sugar in the bottom of the pan and it gets all pasty, and sometimes you cook vegetables in there. Everybody knows what burnt caramel might possibly taste like. That's an easy one.
Put vegetables in it. But,
that's an easy one.
You put vegetables
sweet potato.
In it?
No, we don't put any vegetables.
You could go sweet potato. You could go sweet potato on that burnt caramel, and that would work. Sweet potato would work in a burnt caramel. See that? I'm coming up with something right now.
There you go, Thomas.
Sweet potato burnt caramel. Call it to Thomas.
He's kind of an interesting person to watch put concoctions together. It's kind of fun.
No. But that would definitely work.
Yeah,
even.
It would be.
You know?
It could taste good.
Because if you like have a sweet potato, even with butter, and you leave it in the pan, and you smush it out, it kind of gets all like
caramelized at the bottom,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost every fruit or vegetable, you can caramelize the sugars in there. That's what we do a lot of times, like when we play with strawberry or anything.
Oh, that's awesome. Caramelize a strawberry.
And you change the sugar inside the item.
So
and
I was curious how you got that roasted flavor. I had the sweet potato, the Japanese sweet potato, but it tasted roasted. Like,
we did
almost
roast
on
them.
An open fire. How did you get that?
We just roasted them on sheet pans with no parchment paper.
Yeah.
And so it did that whole thing that Thomas was just talking about, the caramelization at the bottom.
All right.
Yeah. And
it was very nice detail.
They drip this beautiful
4141 4th Street. You want to raise that joy score instantaneously.
Like, how did she get that
just
in
the
there?
Thought of ice cream gets that joy score up. So you can see, I'm about ready to blast off here. I don't know what am I doing here. Get the 4141 Long Beach 4th Street.
We'll be banging on the glass.
Oh, my God. Give me some of that cracker.
Well, you have butter cake. Do you guys make that?
We make that too. Yeah, that's real popular right now.
Yeah, it's really yummy.
That was crazy. That's actually That is crack. That's not even a joke. I was like, I saw that. You had a little piece of it cut up one time, a month ago when I went in there, just randomly. We went in there. And it was like a little piece, and I tasted it, and I was like so chewy and flaky, and I was like, oh my God. It was Kadri's birthday.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to get this. That was an awesome birthday present.
Yeah, we'll sell a bunch of them over the Thanksgiving holiday. Another, we sell them in a 13 by 9 sheet, and people buy them like crazy. It's great.
How much is a 13 by 9 sheet of that stuff?
The butter cake? I think we sold it last year, $32.95, something like that.
Oh, that's my awesome. God. That's what I mean. If you're swimming around Manhattan,
really, that's, I mean,
that's
for all organic. Because if you cook at home, you know that it's actually, even if you were to make your own organic ice cream, you would spend more on your own ingredients than it would to go buy a pint from you guys.
Definitely.
So that's always what happens.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of another one?
Another ice cream? Okay, let's see. Yeah. Why am I? I'm like blank. Midnight Oolong.
Midnight what?
Oolong.
Do that again.
Oh, I wanted to try that with Midnight Oolong. Is it mint
Midnight Oolong.
And tea? Or what's in there?
Midnight Oolong.
There's
nice.
a Black Pearl Oolong tea.
Yeah.
Black Pearl
Sorry,
Oolong
I'm popping
tea.
My peas. Yeah.
No, it's okay. Black. So what else is in there? You got some other tea
in there.
Of course,
a lot
there.
Of beautiful chocolate. So we take the Black Pearl Oolong tea and we steep that. And then we do a nice, beautiful Calibo Cocoa chocolate inside.
Calibo Cocoa chocolate.
That's a fun
chocolate,
way.
Yeah. And then some sugar, organic sugar and Colettes, which is basically the little chocolate drops. They go in there, about a 56% chocolate. It's beautiful, the rich.
How'd you come up with that one?
That one, I wanted to change the chocolate flavor from being, the chocolate flavor of my ice cream from being so bitter. And it was another one where I thought, well, I'm drinking tea at the time I'm thinking of this. And I'm like, I'm going to just put this in there. That's going to work. I'm sorry.
No,
that's
it's okay.
Okay. You're fine.
That was like 3-1. But if I put the tea in instead, because that's not bitter. When I drink coffee, it had a bitter flavor, but the tea didn't have the bitter flavor. And
right.
It totally changed the texture of the ice cream, made it a little drier, and it tastes like fudge when you put it on your tongue.
Oh, nice cold. Oh, oolong, yeah. Oolong. What's you call it? Oolong.
Midnight
what?
Oolong.
Midnight oolong.
Yeah,
midnight
that got oolong. My curiosity, but yeah. I didn't taste it yesterday. Mm-hmm.
I like how you get going. I'm gonna try that one. That's a go. That's go time right there. Next time I walk into that place, which will be sooner than later, no doubt.
Yeah, after this conversation.
Well, we got your girl saying, hey, try them all. Although the sound was so bad, I didn't have my boom in there. But she said, yeah, you can try them all.
Yeah.
And we cut to like 20 cuts of people like trying everything.
Mm-hmm. I think we're getting some people get mad now because other people try so much and they're waiting in line to get up to the front. So we had to figure out now a mechanism to help everybody flow through the line a little bit better when it gets busy.
Right.
Because we do have a little kind of, you see anxious people in line like, why are they trying so many? My turn. When's it my turn?
Fine. Give me one of those then. Just make two. Make two. I'm back here. Make two then. Just make two.
Pass
That's what
it
I would
on.
Do. I'd be like, make two. Make two. I'm waiting too long.
Yeah.
What else? What's another one? One more.
This is KLBP Long Beach 99.1 FM, broadcasting from Shannon's on High and online at klbp.org. Hey, hey, let's enter into the joy zone with these indie creators.
At least
one
more.
Let's think. Okay, this one's going to throw you. Chanterelle mushroom.
Chanterelle mushroom.
What else do you put in there with that chanterelle mushroom?
So we take the chanterelle mushrooms and we cook them in butter until they're kind of translucent.
Yeah.
And then blend them up until they're really pureed really well. A little bit of cognac goes in there.
Yeah.
So chanterelle mushroom, butter, cognac. And it has a very earthy flavor to it. It's like a vanilla from the earth.
Forget that. I'm going to get that. The oolong, I'm going to get that one.
It's yummy. I like chanterelle
mushrooms. I'm not
going
to mix them up, too.
They're
I'm
expensive,
having them in different
those They're mushrooms. Expensive.
Yeah, we only make a very small batch of that every time we make it because not a lot of people like it.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those that you have to have the palate for it. And once people do, though, they constantly ask, when are you going to bring the mushroom back?
Do you get that from the Central Coast, like local farmer? Or?
We get those from Engardia Brothers, and they got they purchased the mushrooms from the Kern County area.
Okay. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Nice.
That's really, I mean, you can tell at least how I am. I don't know how you feel over there, but
I'm ready for ice cream, but I'm curious about the donuts, the blueberry donuts.
Yeah, tell us about the blueberry donuts.
I looked at all those pictures. I'm like, you're a woman incognito. You don't really reveal a lot about yourself. And then a yummy ice cream and some donuts.
Oh, that'll
that were
kill
ready
a diet right there. That'll kill a diet. Blueberry
freaking
donut.
These look special. But you didn't see any donuts at the shop yesterday.
No, the blueberry donut is an ice cream.
Oh.
Yeah, we make it in vegan style using donuts from Caffeinated Kitchen.
Okay.
Yeah, that's another one where we do a lot of local collaborations. So our cream ice cream
with
is used with Angel Food Donuts, old-fashioned donuts. They're right next to us on Long Beach Boulevard. They're like a block away. And then when we make the vegan style, we use Caffeinated Kitchens donuts.
Okay. Nice.
So that everybody gets a little play. You know, yeah. I like to, if we're going to be popular, I'd like to bring other people along for the ride, too, if we
right.
can.
You know, that's help awesome.
No,
out.
No, no. That's,
yeah, cross-promoting, as you know, and marketing is really
yeah,
helpful,
it's powerful.
You know.
How is it doing business in Long Beach? Is it user-friendly?
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. I mean, in the beginning, I was a little frustrated because everything when it's new, it's a little frustrating how to make this happen or that happen. We had a long wait opening the first shop because of plans getting lost and things happening. And I had to, like, call in a bunch of chips.
Right.
Call the mayor, call this person, and get people all riled up in order for us to.
That shouldn't have been too hard. You bring that freaking oolong in there, and boom, yeah. You've got to. Hey, here's a gallon of oolong. You got to sign that paper right yeah. there. Give me that permit. Done. Yeah.
Sometimes you can't be waiting around for it to happen. You got to go get it.
Yeah.
So
and share around. A little bit about that for our listeners that are maybe, because that's a pretty, you know, a lot of people, good I hear stuff. This a lot of the time, you know, working with people, they're like, they feel stuck in their job, but mm-hmm. they have a dream or aspiration and they're just too hesitant to go for it. Can you share some words of encouragement to the listeners about going for it?
Well, I think the best thing that helped me was getting support and support from all the people who were eating the ice cream and wanted to have the next flavor or try the next component, you know, try it. And I was sharing everything I was doing online. So it was easy for them to support me because they could talk. And during the whole launch of Long Beach Creamery, it was kind of like a community created a business.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I was running it in a way. But everything that people were suggesting, I was putting into it, like that our logo should look like this, that we should go to this location. I would share all the stuff I was looking at.
So it's at Long Beach Creamery. That's your Instagram.
Yeah, at Long Beach Creamery.
Is that also your Facebook?
Yeah,
at Long Beach Creamery. So you go there, you like that page, and then you'll know exactly what the updates are and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. That's really at Long Beach Creamery.
But I think, too, for what you were saying, is the you want to find support from external sources, but you also need to support yourself and listen to yourself.
Right.
Because I think that was one thing where every once in a while when I'd lose a little bit of faith or take a misstep and just finding that other ingredient that I wanted, that I got obsessed with.
Yeah.
Or
how'd you miss up? Remember a misstep?
Misstep by, falling out of love with making ice cream occasionally. Or just being angry about where I was at, when I was two-jobbing it. I was doing
two-jobbing it.
And making ice cream up until 12:30 at night, and then you wake up, do the other job. It's exhausting.
I'm four-jobbing it.
Yeah.
Four-jobbing it. But you know what? You find that common denominator, and somehow it becomes all the same thing.
Right.
You know, just like if I can find that ground floor as I move into these different skill sets, I'm able to still enjoy them. I think that was that was a big thing. Well, that entrepreneurial spirit, though, it seems to be more alive than ever. Everybody seems to be realizing they don't need everything, but they need something that they love.
Right.
You know, and it's like, what can I do to sustain myself, and what can I do to take care of my family? What can I do to, you know, set something up for the future when I can't get out of bed?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. It doesn't have to be like everything. It can be just enough, and as long as you're loving it. I heard, the stat is 80% of the people that have a job don't like what they do.
Yeah, I think that was the stat I heard too.
And that's tough when you're not liking where you are because you age quicker. You're not sicker.
Well, it's not good
more.
For you to be in a job you don't like.
Oh, my God.
Definitely not.
Well, maybe, but
it
maybe
won't be
that's
good for
a. That. Well, the thing about the joy is that the idea is not to accept that, but to utilize and re-see that space with a fresh pair of eyes. And see it in a way that you can actually fill up with it. So it's the onus is on you to see it with a proper pair
absolutely.
Of eyes.
Absolutely.
Right?
But if you identify, like, you know, we had Rion here and he's an actor and he mm-hmm. was feeling a little frustrated with acting, so he decided to go back and be an insurance agent. And he's like, I just felt awkward in my clothing. I felt the whole thing was wrong. And so I think that's what we're talking about. Like, there was no way he was going to get his joy score up high enough to sustain as an insurance agent.
Well, that's how he knew he had to do what he had to do.
And that's how you kind of knew that you couldn't sustain where you were at anymore, that you needed to have your creative energy flowing and in creation process. And
yeah, it felt like the creation part or the creativity part was just getting squeezed to nothing.
Yeah.
And it was becoming everybody else's interpretation at the marketing job rather than my interpretation.
And that's hard. You know, I worked in the design field, architecture and design field, and that's, you know, it gets really parceled down. Like, it's like you get like 10% of design and then you're like, you know, building the building, which is fun. There's exciting parts about it. But if you need that creative juice and it's only a small part, you're going to have to find other ways to fill it up.
Well, gosh, you know, there's so many cool little life things in there, though. But, you know, especially she's talking about her own cycle where she's falling out of love with the ice cream and then she's cycling back around and loving and then not liking it. But that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And that's how we develop character. And if we're not going around the circle, because inevitably, whatever you begin, at some point, you know, I'm enjoying it, I'm having fun with it, but that's going to turn into something else. And it's that something else and how we manage that something else that allows us to keep going and then develop our characters, develop enough self-will to understand how to sit in those uncomfortable spaces and still create in them. Yeah. And that's just a reality of, that's just a reality. If we know that no matter what we start, no matter how much we love it, at some point we're going to be challenged with that task.
Yeah, not it could because, turn on you a little
not
bit.
Not because the task changes, but because how we're viewing it changes.
Yeah, the absolutely.
And changes. then our character is then we start to grow as human beings, because now we're like, hey, you know, I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm going to sit in this. I'm going to figure out how to bring that Tai Chi into my ice cream making.
Right.
I'm going to figure out how to bring that yoga into my ice cream making, and I'm going to do a little breath, do a little asana. And I'm going to take a walk around the block, clear my head, come back into my space of work, and then.
This is KLBPLP Long Beach 99.1 FM, broadcasting from Shannon's on Pine and online at klbp.org.
Super green ice cream.
Yes. Or angry ice cream with some hot sauce. Or some chili peppers. Yes. Do you have hot ice cream?
Well, I can tell you, I made an angry ice cream one time. It was called Penang curry.
Ooh, and I like Penang.
It sucked.
It did?
It sucked so bad.
Did you do coconut? Nice coconut base?
It was a Penang curry actually from a local company. I bought their curry sauce.
Yeah.
And I put it in ice cream with a little peanut butter.
Ooh,
They taste good together when you're eating it in the noodles. I'm like, this is going to be great. But
it didn't.
There's got to be a way to spice.
You know what? You could probably put a little lime in there.
You're trying. That's me too. I'm like, how can I fix it? How can I fix it? And then I just said,
get it. Now I'm going to be thinking about
that. There's got to be a way. Like, you could have spicy chocolate.
Oh, we do that. Yeah. We got chocolate bomb.
Chocolate bomb. See, I'm going to try that one too.
Yeah. It's good because we put the spice in the chocolate.
I'm definitely going to get on that one.
The end. Yeah.
I love that one. Chocolate bomb.
Chocolate bomb.
Chocolate bomb. Chocolate bomb. New discoveries here every moment. Right? And I want you to notice the entire time you've been in here, we ain't got nothing but smiles on our faces.
Yeah. That's perfect.
Yeah. Because absolutely.
There's something about the senses being activated, even food, but especially ice cream. I don't know if that's like put into me, because like when I was a kid, the happy times were going to Dairy Queen and getting ice cream with the family, or going to hang out.
Yeah, the one guy said yesterday at the shop, I don't know if you included in the promo, but he said, I said, what do you like about ice cream? He goes, it makes me feel youthful, because it reminds us of like when our parents took us out for an ice cream cone. It was usually a special treat. It's a little bit more accessible these days.
You got all that historical marketing built into your customer.
Yeah, we have all that nostalgia, the love, the everything that comes with it.
Because there wasn't a dude in there or a girl in there that wasn't like looking like a little kid.
Yeah, well, you can't really stay angry in a coffee ice cream shop.
You can't stay angry in an ice cream shop. So dump your psychologist, dump your Prozac, dump your lithium, and get down to the freaking creamery.
And they have vegan, so you don't have any. You can't use any dietary restrictions.
And get your mojo on. Do you have anything else that you would like to share with?
Well, share where to find you. The easiest, all the locations.
How many times can I say it? 4141 4000.
No, she has one in Bixby Broadway. Hill.
Yeah, the one in Bixby Knowles is at 4141 Long Beach Boulevard.
Have I said it wrong time? Why don't you correct me? 4141 Long Beach. Everybody's Googling. Everybody's Googling like 4th Street. There's no ice cream shop there.
There probably is. Maybe we'll do one.
4141
Long Beach Boulevard.
And then 222 Broadway. 222 East Broadway.
You got good numbers.
You got great numbers.
Don't we have good numbers?
And what's Bellflower going to be?
Unfortunately, it's not great. It's 16, 16,500 or 16, yeah.
That's still easy. Stick 16,500.
I think we're suite 145. So there's a couple fives and a zero.
165. You actually get three, so you're going to get the Trinity going there.
Okay. And it adds up to, it adds up to 12, which is the types of human beings that there are on the planet. So you got, there you go. You're going to track all the types of human beings. You got 12 types, right? Like the astrological sign thing. 12,
oh,
right?
Oh, those kind. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you got
She's
12.
Like, what does that mean?
Where is it going?
6-1, 6-1.
I didn't know either for a second.
12's a great number. 12's an awesome number.
And Dina, on the board here, your sister's been listening in. Everyone is like saying nice things about you.
What are they saying? Ask them if they have any questions. Anyone got any questions for the ice cream lady?
You can ask them.
I just did. You got any questions for the ice cream lady?
I think it's your sister. She says, the quick to blush tendency must run in the family. I do the same thing. I didn't notice that you were blushing, but I guess you're...
Oh, I told them that.
Brenda, is that your friend, Brenda? Marilla?
If she says something nice, yeah, she's
and
my friend.
Sandra Carson, she likes strawberry too. She says you should name it after you. Georgianne says she loves your creativity with all the flavors.
So you got lots of people watching.
Yeah, I loved the community has been so great for us. I mean, basically the creamery was the community, or is the community.
So Matt Saracen says ice cream finally tastes great again with Long Beach Creamery.
Oh yeah, love Matt was at our first tasting too at my house.
Okay.
Yeah, but see,
Jennifer's your cousin.
What's cool? It's a special experience though, yeah. Because of the love and the care and the thought. And the creativity that's gone into it. It's not like going, doing the Ben and Jerry's thing, although you stand there in 7-Eleven, you look at the freezer for about a half hour, and you wonder what they have left. And then, you go into this place, and the stuff's been looked after in a really cool way, and it's been come up. It's, a local has come up with it, and she's put her heart and soul into it.
Yeah, well, local economy is important. You can taste that in the food. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely can.
I think local economy is important, and plus tourism, because we have become such a world community that now people, when they travel, they look for these gems. They look for the ice creamery. Mm-hmm. So even if you're not in Long Beach, but you're traveling or you come through Long Beach, come check out one of the creameries.
Heck yeah, it's a place of destination. It's a destination.
Absolutely.
I originally thought, the name Long Beach Creamery was going to limit us. Like we couldn't really move out of Long Beach. Yeah. But Long Beach is coming into its own.
Absolutely.
It's cool, and it's going to just get cooler and cooler. I dig Long Beach. I've loved it ever since I drove down that Shoreline Drive and saw the city on one side and the ocean on the other.
It's a taste of Long Beach. It's a taste of Long Beach love. There you go. Get down to the Long Beach Creamery and get your darn ice cream on.
Get it on.
It's been so lovely having you.
Yeah, it was great to talk with you guys.
And yeah, it's so much fun. I appreciate you coming out, incognito woman.
Yeah.
It's been an absolute pleasure, and we're gonna stalk your place until we...
All right.
And I'll
have you arrested.
We'll have to run there, eat ice cream, run home.
No, we're gonna send everybody down there. We're gonna be down there, and we're gonna definitely tell everybody we possibly could know that wants ice cream to get their butts down there. But it's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Run number three. Thank you so much.
Don't make you happy. Nothing in this world will, baby. That's ice cream. That's ice cream.
So we're here at the Long Beach Creamery, locally organic, handmade ice cream.
Don't know and don't care, but to be fair.
Hey, welcome back. How about that?
Welcome back.
How about that? We're all educated on ice cream, and if that didn't raise your joy, I don't know what will. Although, what we're finding here is like anything seen properly can raise your joy, and that's really what this art of living and art of perception is about. It's about how we see it.
We're going to exit out with Alec Bridges from his album In a Stream. The song is called Refuge. If inspired, maybe you want to go and grab a little bit of Long Beach Creamery and cozy up on your sofa and explore the refuge in a pint of ice cream. You are listening to the Indie Creators in the Joy Zone on KLVP Long Beach Public Radio on 99.1 FM and online at klvp.org. This is your hosts, Suzanne Toro and Thomas Artavani.